If you have your Bibles, won't you turn with me to Proverbs 18, please? Proverbs is in the Old Testament, Proverbs 18. Let's just pray together. Lord, we just thank you this morning for your word again, and we pray for your blessing on your word. We pray, Lord, you'd open up your word to us this morning in the name of Jesus, and be glorified through the preaching of your word and the application of your word as we live it out in our city. We ask you to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Proverbs 18, we've started a series last week called Streetwise. We'll be going through Proverbs for the next couple of months, which is part of just the wisdom literature, part of God's wisdom. And so this morning I want to talk to us about our speech, our talk on the street. And it's from Proverbs 18:21. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. Last week we began our introduction, and so this morning we're going to get into it, some of the specifics. If you like, it's Christian living, if you like, Christian ethics. And this morning we want to look at our speech, our tongues. And so let's read Proverbs 18, verse 21. Just one verse. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. It's perhaps a verse you know quite well. Life and death in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So we were saying last week, friends, that Proverbs is part of wisdom literature. It's some of the Ecclesiastes, Proverbs. These were a part of wisdom literature that God gave to make us wise. They're sayings, riddles, proverbs from wise men. Most of them were written by Solomon, but also by a few other writers as well. Solomon was King David's son, and David messed up with his first two children, but then he started training up Solomon and pouring his wisdom into the life of Solomon. And when Solomon became king of Israel, he asked God for wisdom. That was his request. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for fame. He asked for wisdom. He said, Lord, to lead these people, I need wisdom. Won't you give me wisdom? And God was so pleased that he gave him wisdom. And Solomon became wiser than all the men of the Far East, of the around that area of Egypt. And he eventually wrote over 3,000 proverbs and sayings and riddles, and in all sorts of areas. He was an author, composer, a diplomat, a king, and a businessman. But he messed it up in the second half of his life. He lost the plot. He took on too many wives. He had something like 700 wives and 300 concubines. So that's like a lot of women in his life. And it messed him up because he started listening to them, and not just, they were not just Israelite women, but they were foreign women that they were not supposed to intermarry with at that stage, because they wanted to keep hold of the laws and the oracles of God. And he disobeyed God, married many foreign women, and it led him astray. And Solomon went from a place of having great wisdom to really becoming an old fool, where he really lost the plot. And it's really a challenge for all of us to finish the race well, not just to start well, but to finish the race well, and not to lose the plot. And so it's important for us to learn from Solomon. And Solomon tells us in Proverbs what wisdom really is. Wisdom is knowledge applied. It's not just having lots of information, but it's being able to put truth into action. It's moral guidance for life. And he tells us that true wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Can you say amen? Begins with the fear of the Lord. So there's general wisdom, but then there's a spiritual wisdom that comes when you begin to fear the Lord. God begins to open your eyes. You begin to see things in true perspective. He gives you understanding, and that wisdom is found in God and in Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so we get a spiritual wisdom, and God helps us to live skillfully and live on the street skillfully. And that's why we've called it Streetwise, because it's wisdom that's needed on the streets today. Whether you're in Pelham or Ashburton or wherever you are, whether you're in Durban or wherever you are, it's wisdom we need on the streets. Proverbs chapter 1 says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. It's not just in church. It's in the street. In the marketplaces, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, Ashburton and Hilton. Particularly, she's talking to us in those areas. And giving us wisdom as we enter the city. Saying, come on, be wise. Learn from God. Learn from his scriptures as well. And so, we need to learn from these things. And friends, this morning I want to look at the things we say on the streets, our talk and how we talk to one another and the things we say. And if ever there's a topic that's relevant, it's this topic at the moment. Because from around about December, although it's been brewing since then, we had this lady, Penny Sparrow, who tweeted some stupid stuff, and suddenly we're in the midst again of a racial war of words in South Africa on both sides from this situation where this lady just got the gift of stupidity coming upon her and tweeted this stuff, and suddenly we're in the middle of it and it's become quite serious. And people are talking about hate speech. And suddenly again, people are calling each other names. And I drove here this morning, the city press said, you know, white people will never learn. And we're suddenly in the midst of it. So good to worship this morning in Grace Gen. It's so good to be in a church like this. And I want to commend you guys for, you know, for the way we've been able to work cross-culturally and work on our relationships. But let's not take it for granted. Let's keep working at it. Let's thank God for it. Can you say amen? Because this is what's happening at the moment. And in some ways, instead of looking at the economy, we're looking at the things we're saying to each other as a nation again. And this one lady, Daily Maverick, I read it every day. It's just helpful online journalism stuff. She just says, Judith Febri, she says, if 1994 was about a rainbow nation, the racial polarization we've seen in the last while indicate just how far we've moved from Madiba's dream of a non-racial society. And so, friends, we've got work to do. We really got work to do in the nation. And so I think part of it is some folk haven't really looked at some of these issues sufficiently, and they're surfacing again in the nation. And I think we've got a job to do as the children of God in the nation. Can you say amen? And so this morning I want us to look at this and how we can use our speech wisely on the streets to bring change. God's called us not just to be peacekeepers, but peacemakers on the street. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, because our tongues can be weapons of mass destruction, or they can be trees of life as we affect others as well. And we're not just talking about the things we say, but the power of email, social media, Twitter, etc. We really need to think about this stuff, because the ways of communication are changing. And so we need to think about how we communicate. So can I preach about that to you today? Would that be good? I think it may help you, okay? So, and we're not going to focus on racism. We're going to talk about our tongues in general. But it's part of the bigger thing that's happening in our nation at the moment. And it's amazing how that's broken out again. And so we need to know that, friends, words can give life. The things we say, the things we speak, not just out there, but at home and to our wives and husbands. They can give life, and they can reconcile people to God, and they can make marriages sweet and churches strong. They can give hope and help to spread the gospel. But also, if we use our tongues in an unwise way, it can bring death. And the enemy loves it when we speak foolishly and we speak in an unwise way. It's like those fiery darts that burn people. You know, boom, you get an arrow in you and it burns you. And yet God has the words of eternal life. Jesus said, I have the words of eternal life. And we need to join in with God in speaking words of life over people without ignoring the issues, but speaking words of life. And so this morning I want us to look at how you can avoid death with your tongue and how you can bring life with your tongue. It's so important that we do that. And so firstly, I want us to look at words that bring death and that should be avoided. We've touched on a few of these things before. Number one, I won't dwell on this for too long, but don't speak evil over others. Don't speak evil over other people. Okay, God hates it when we misuse his name. God, in Exodus 20, he says, do not use my name in vain. As you know, I watch movies. I like watching movies and videos. One of the things that's really been alarming is over the years, how much more blasphemy is creeping into movies today. People just using God's name in vain. And God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to honor his name. And in Titus chapter 3, it says, speak evil of no one. Speak evil of no one. And so we need to remember this, because the words we speak over people, it imprisons them. It holds them back. And it prevents us from reaching them for Christ. And so we must be careful that we don't label people and speak things over people. Oh, we know what white people are like. Or we know what blacks are like. We must be careful of doing that, folks. Mustn't speak things over people. We don't, mustn't do that. Secondly, don't speak evil over yourself. Or don't speak evil to yourself. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And sometimes, it's not the things we're saying out there, but we're saying things to ourselves that we would never say to other people. We're speaking things over our own lives. We're saying things over our lives, or it's like an inner promise or a vow we take. And we say things over our lives that can be very destructive and can hold us back. Maybe you've spoken things over your life to prevent you from being hurt, but it's held you back throughout your life. Let me give you some examples. Maybe you've been hurt or abused when you were younger, and you've promised that you'll never let yourself be hurt again. It's like a defense mechanism. Say, well, I was hurt by men. I'll never trust men again. Or I'll never open up to others again. Or people will always let me down. Or I will never get this thing right in my life. And we speak things over ourselves. We do. And it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Sometimes in Shannon and I, when we talk at home, we've had this thing for years, where we may say something foolish. It's more often me than her, believe it or not. And we've got to stop the conversation some and say, hang on, won't you take those words back? Won't you cancel what you've just said? That was foolish. That was unwise. Let's not speak that out. And so we stop and we say, okay, Lord, forgive us. We take those words back. Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And we've got to watch this. Maybe your father was harsh and legalistic, and as a young woman, you said, right, my dad's let me down. I'm not ever going to expect anything from him again, so I'm not disappointed. And later on in your life, you find you struggle to trust God as your father. Or you struggle to trust other men for marriage. Maybe as a young man, you've been hurt by a woman you wanted to marry. And you said, you were so hurt. You said, I'm never going to let myself get hurt like that again. And so you're struggling to commit yourself into a relationship. Or maybe you say, I'll never trust leadership. Or share my secrets. Or really love others. And we need to think about this. Are there things you've said over your life that hold you back? Are there things that you believe? I will never. I can never. God can never. This is big stuff. It holds us back. And we develop these belief systems about people, about cultures, about women, about men, about God. And friends, Jesus wants to set us free so we can speak a different language to ourselves. Amen. And we need to stop and apply some wisdom in this area as well. We need to do some thinking. It's part of renewing our minds. Instead of listening to ourselves, we need to talk to ourselves. We've said this so often before. Sometimes we're listening to ourselves instead of talking to ourselves. We need to talk to ourselves. What does God say? God says, no, I know the plans I have for you. Hallelujah. Plans to do you good and to prosper you. And I'm going to bless you. And so we need to put our trust in God and not speak words over our lives that hold us back and hold us in bondage. Friends, faith is not a leap in the dark, but it's a step into the light where we just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you again. I'm going to speak words of faith over my life, over my family, over my situation. It's very, very important that we do that we speak life, that we speak faith, that you don't speak evil to yourself. You don't do that. You speak life, speak faith over your life, over your family. Even though situations may be difficult, even though you may face obstacles, so I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Hallelujah. Can we do that? So we're not just talking about speaking evil over others, We're talking about speaking evil over ourselves. Things we think on the inside. No one knows sometimes, but we're thinking that on the inside. It's like a vow we take or a promise we take that can hold us captive. I will never get any further in this job. God can never bless me in this area. And we speak those things over ourselves. Don't do it. It's not good, not wise. Thirdly, don't speak evil of others. Don't gossip. Don't do secrets. Words reveal our hearts. And there's a connection between our hearts and our tongues. We've spoken about this before. If you have a critical heart, you'll have a critical tongue. If you have a self-righteous heart, you'll be judgmental. If you have a bitter heart, it will come out in harsh words. If you're ungrateful, you will grumble. If you have an unclean heart, you will have filthy talk. If you have a loving heart, you'll be gracious. If you have a faithful heart, you'll be trusting. If you have a peaceful heart, if your heart's at peace, you'll be a reconciler. If you have a trusting heart, you will be an encourager. So friends, we need to guard our hearts while we sort our mouths out. It's important we do that. John Piper says, sometimes gossip is easy to see because some people are too honest to be polite. So we pick it up easily. But sometimes gossip is subtle. Sometimes we say to people, particularly Christians, we pretend we're concerned. We say, won't you pray about this? I just want to tell you something. But it's actually it's an opportunity to download some information about somebody else to make you look good. And slander and gossip is stealing. We steal that person's good name. And since relationships are about trust, the currency of trust, a good reputation is a valuable asset. And so we shouldn't gossip. We shouldn't do that. Sometimes it's good to, you have to pass information along if a person's in trouble or you have to report something to the police. But those are just exceptions, rare exceptions. We mustn't do that. Okay, so what is the answer to not gossiping? The answer is to speak the truth in love. And that's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just turn there quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. Such a great scripture, this. Ephesians 4:15. It says, rather speaking the truth in love, we will grow up. Hallelujah. Speak the truth in love. And so we need to remember here, this is a teaching on speaking truth. We need to remember there that if you just speak truth with no love, it can be harsh. I just want to tell you the truth here. I just want to lay the facts down. It's harsh. If you're just incredibly loving all the time and there's no truth in what you're saying, it just becomes mushy. So you need to speak the truth, but with love. So if truth has no love, it becomes hard. You might be absolutely correct, but it's hard. And if you have love with no truth, it just can become wishy-washy. So speak the truth in love. And friends, I know this is difficult, but if you've been offended and there's an issue that doesn't go away, and lots of issues do go away, you pray about them, you forgive them, you move on. As I said a couple of weeks ago, when you get offended, don't swing at every ball. Try and deal with it and move on. Otherwise, life becomes exhausting. But if you've been offended, if you've been hurt, if something has happened, don't talk to your friend about it. Go and speak to that person, if possible. And in Matthew 18, it says, if your brother sinned against you, go and speak to them, just the two of you. And in Galatians 5, if you've seen someone caught in a sin, go and help them with a spirit of gentleness. So it's not just if you've been offended. If you see something wrong, don't talk about it. Go and speak to that. Sometimes as a pastor, I discover something after a while. I say to people, just I've discovered this has happened. People say, oh, yeah, we know about that. So what do you mean you know about that? Say, oh, we've known about this for a long time. Did any of you go and speak to the person? Oh, no. Oh, no. I discover like it's a big surprise, and other people have known about it. We need to be able to, when we've been offended and when someone's struggling, I would hope, church, if I was in trouble, you would come and help me. You would draw alongside and say, listen, I've noticed this. How can I help you? And so, but it means we need to go. If someone's offended you, you go. If you see someone's in trouble, you go. And don't go making statements. Ask questions. Say, listen, I see you struggling. Can I help you? What about this? What about that? And some people are better at doing this than others. But we need to do it. We need to learn to do it. And when people approach you, make yourself approachable. Make it easy for folk to talk to you. Don't offend them again. Make it easy. It's like the guy that was always offending people, who eventually said to all the people he knew, he said, listen, if I haven't offended you yet, please be patient. Your opportunity will come. So we're not saying that. We're just saying be wise. Be wise, okay? Maybe this guy's name was Donald Trump. I don't know. If he gets in as the American president, my goodness, America's in trouble. Why? What's Donald Trump's biggest problem? He can't control his tongue. Now they're going to make him the president of America and he can't control his own tongue. How are you going to lead a nation? I don't know. It tells you a lot about American politics. So this is for Donald Trump. Hope you're listening to our website. This message is for you. So what you need to do, folks, and I know it's difficult, but what we must do, and I've told you this before, but if there's a problem, if there's person A here that has a problem with person B, this person has a real problem with that person, has been offended, this person with that person, this person needs to go to that person and talk to that person, this person must not go to his friend and tell his friend about this person, because then you form a triangle. And that's what gossip is. Gossip is forming triangles. So don't do triangles. Don't do triangles. Let me help you with this. Three principles about triangulation. One, you can't solve a problem of which you're not a part. It's between these two. It's not about you. You can't solve a problem of which you're not a part. You can pray for them. If you see there's a problem, pray for them. But this person has got to talk to this person. And you can encourage them to do so. Okay? So don't let them download to you. Let them download to that person and talk to that person. Secondly, you need to put the responsibility back where it belongs. So if this person comes to you, you say to this person, you put it back, you say to them, you need to go and talk to this person. Put the responsibility, it's not your responsibility, it's their responsibility. Put the responsibility back where it belongs. Don't listen to secrets. Say to them, I think you need to talk to this person here. Do the healthy thing. Stop rescuing people. Say to this person, please go and talk to that person there. Encourage them, even if they have to, even if it is difficult. Sometimes it's difficult for a woman to talk to a man. Sometimes it's difficult to speak truth to power. Sometimes in African cultures, other cultures, it's difficult for a younger person to talk to an older person, isn't it? And so we have all these things. So I can't talk to this person, they're older than me. I can't talk to this person, they're a man, I'm a woman. We have to learn how to do this. We have to ask God for help. Women to men, young to old, wives to husbands. Nowadays it's husbands to wives. The powerless to the powerful, employee to employers, and people in the congregation to the pastor. And if you've tried it and it hasn't worked, then you can take someone along. But you must try this first. And say, look, please can I talk to you about this? Or write a note and pray about it. And you'll be amazed what God does if you do this. Amen. Amazing word. I told you the story before. Maybe I should tell it to you again. We heard it from Arch Hart. It's a story about this couple that were going for counseling and to Arch Hart, and they had a daughter, and the father had no relationship with the daughter at all. And then one day in the counseling session, the wife arrived early, and she said, can I see you for a minute? And he said, what's it? She says, my daughter's just fallen pregnant. And we're too scared to tell the dad. Can you tell the dad when he comes for counseling? And so Arch Hart said, no, I'm not going to tell the dad. She said, okay, I'll tell the dad. He said, no, it's not your responsibility to tell the dad. It's your daughter's responsibility to tell her dad. She said, you don't understand. They don't have a relationship. He said, let's put the responsibility back where it belongs. Let your daughter talk to her father. We'll pray for her. She said, I don't know what's going to happen. He said, well, let's try it. So that night, came home. Daughter opened the door. Dad was in the study. She said, Daddy, I need to talk to you about something. She poured her heart out. She shared with him. Mom was behind the door praying. Instead of the dad being angry, because it wasn't gossip, because she came and spoke in the truth, he put his arms around her and said, I'm disappointed, but we'll work this out together. I love you. And they were able to get through it together. So we put the responsibility back where it belongs. Hallelujah. So let me encourage you in this area. Don't do triangles. Don't gossip. Let's learn to do this. It's not always easy. I know that. We don't always get it right. But God will give us strength. Gossip is the opposite of how Jesus speaks to the Father about you and me. It's not the way Jesus talks to the Father about us. And so finally, those are areas that bring death. But how do we speak life as we conclude? How do we speak life? Well, words are very powerful, friends, and they have a powerful effect on us. And Jesus himself said, my words are spirit and life. And so we must just remember our words are powerful. When I preach to you, there's something that happens as I preach. The words come from within me. They come out of my mouth and they impact you. They change your life. They shape you. Words are powerful. And we live in a society where words are powerful. And in the beginning, God spoke the word and the heavens and the earth were created. Words have creative power. That's why in the church, the ear, not the eye, will always be the organ that reaches your soul. In the Bible, in the Christian life, your ears are more important than your eyes, even though we live in a visual age today. That's why we read scripture, to hear God speaking to us. That's why preaching will never be unpopular, because it's the way God uses to change people, through the power of the preached word. It's through your ears. It's through the word that hits your heart. That's why when we preach, we don't do lots of PowerPoint presentations. We don't want you looking at the screen. We want you listening to the word. It's the power of preaching. It's the power of the word of God. Hallelujah. You can change a whole nation through the word of God. And so we need to realize that words bring life. So I would encourage you, friends, make your mouth a fountain of life on the streets of Pietermaritzburg. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The Bible says, but the mouth of the wicked conceal violence. Surprise people by the good things you say this year. Can I say that again? I don't always get this right. Surprise people by the good things you say this year. Oh, church. Look for opportunities for kind words. Look for opportunities for encouraging words. Put courage into people. Be thankful. Speak faith. Rouse yourself. It's good to listen, but it's good to speak sometimes. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit will come upon you and you will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Church, we need to be prophesying over one another. We need to be in the Spirit as we encourage one another. Speaking life and words of encouragement. Being open to on the God side. It's so important. It says in Proverbs 25 verse 11, a word timely spoken or aptly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. And sometimes when you just say the right thing at the right time, it's just wonderful. When someone needs encouragement and you just say, you know what? God is with you. It's wonderful. When you speak words of life, speak words of encouragement. Don't be silent when you should be speaking. Speak words of life in the things you say. Let me encourage you. Can we do that this year? Can we do that this year? To your wife, words of encouragement, words of life. Hey, baby, you look good today. Thank you for that meal. Thank you for this. That was great. Open your mouth. Say something. It's a sign that the Spirit's at work in your life. Do you know that? It's the way you speak. It's what you say. What comes out your mouth. When you're in meetings, don't be silent. Thank God. Praise Him. Speak words of life. There's power in it. Such tremendous power. That in our homes, the frequency in our homes is not shortwave or medium wave or Radio 5 or SAFM, but there's a frequency of life in our homes because of what's said in our homes. And then finally, speak about Jesus. Speak about the gospel. We mustn't forget the gospel. This purpose of this series is not just in Christian ethics or to equip us in Christian living, friends, but it's to help us to be a friend of sinners. It's helping us to be a friend of unbelievers. Jesus was like that. It's to take these messages, to take these words out on the streets. And I close with this. Jesus himself could be a friend of sinners because he knew he was going to die upon the cross. So he reached people everywhere he went because he knew he was going to the cross. It says when he preached in the synagogues that all the synagogues faced Jerusalem. I never knew that. Every time the preacher preached, he'd be facing Jerusalem. He'd be facing the holy city. And when the people left Jerusalem, they left the synagogue, they would walk out facing Jerusalem. The synagogues in Galilee faced south. In the Jordan, they faced west. Those south of Jerusalem faced north. Those in the west faced east. Every time Jesus was in the synagogue, he was facing the place where he was about to be crucified. It was a constant reminder. He reached people because he knew he was going to die for them. He spoke life because he knew he was going to bring life. Hallelujah. And so friends, as we gather in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, these doors don't point to Jerusalem. Maybe they do, I don't know, but they point into the streets of Pietermaritzburg. Whichever door you go out, you'll find yourself in the streets of Pietermaritzburg. Our city needs us. They need us to make a difference. They really need us to speak life. That's what they do in our streets. I'm really concerned about what's happening, but we can make a difference. Hallelujah. And particularly with a church like this. So I would encourage you this week as I close and this year. There's power, there's the power of life and death in the tongue. Let's go out there and speak life. Let's speak about Jesus. Let's tell others what God has done for us. Can we do that? Look for opportunities this week and use the wisdom of God where He's placed us. Let's stand together. Hallelujah.